Գումտրեք SPS հայերենը.
The war against Artsakh continues unabated for the ninth consecutive day. Our community in Australia is extremely concerned about the high casualties among the military and civilians. My guest is Hai Kayserian, Executive Director of the Armenian National Committee of Australia, to talk about the latest developments. Hai, welcome to SBS Armenian.
Thank you for having me, Vaya.
Hi, since our last discussion a week ago, last Tuesday, there have been some developments in Australia worth mentioning. Could you give us a summary of the events?
Sure. So first of all, in the political arena, we have received a response from the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, and I guess more importantly, the Foreign Minister, Senator Maurice Payne. And their statement was on the sort of lighter side and definitely disappointing for us because it maintained this international false parity that seems to exist when trying to refer to what are blatant attacks by Azerbaijan backed by Turkey against the indigenous Armenians of Artsakh, as well as the Armenians of Armenia proper. The fact that, that the foreign minister's statement referred to it as though two sides randomly broke out into some sort of a war, a David and a Goliath versus a David equally, and therefore Australia is calling for them to drop their arms and return to the negotiating table, is unacceptable. Because if you don't call out an attack as an attack, if you don't call out aggression as aggression, if you don't call out war crimes, which is what's going on over there in Armenia, through the use of cluster munitions and other illegal weapons. If you don't call war crimes, they lead to mass murders, they lead to genocide, they lead to ethnic cleansing, and all of the things that Australian values espouse. So we expected more and we didn't actually receive that. However, we've had a lot of political support growing. We've had quite a few federal parliamentarians who have hit the public record, very clearly calling out Azerbaijan, calling out Turkey's involvement, and encouraging a withdrawal from Turkey in the conflict and Azerbaijan to put down their arms and recognize Nagorno-Karabakh as Artsakh, the Republic of Artsakh. This political pressure, it has been added to, of course, not just from individual members of parliament and senators, it's also come from a political party in the Australian Greens, who released a statement. You know, they're a party who's considered the third largest representative within the federal parliament, with nine senators and one member of parliament. They were able to release a statement very clearly articulating that their solidarity is with the Armenian people as they are being attacked by Azerbaijan and Turkey's involvement in those attacks. So this is added to by another statement from the New South Wales Ecumenical Council, which is a council of 16 prominent churches, primarily Orthodox churches, and they released a statement of solidarity with the Armenians and calling out Turkey and Azerbaijan, but also calling on the Australian government to intervene in a more meaningful way. This was backed up by statements from the Greek community, the Assyrian community, as well as the Kurdish community of Australia. We appreciate, obviously, all of these statements. They're very, very welcome. And they add to the to balance the ledger when our government is sitting on the fence. Another challenge for us since last week, Vahe, which has just, let's say, increased since last week, is the media. Obviously, the longer the war goes on, the more deadly it becomes. It also rolls into action the very expensive Azerbaijani propaganda machine. And unfortunately, the Australian media seems to be swallowing Azerbaijan's lies, hook, line and sinker. We are growing frustrated, tired, and wanting to take action against some of these media entities, which are being frankly lazy and not recognizing that what they are doing is essentially replaying coverage from a petro-dictator who has a wife, who has his wife as his vice president, who declares the results of elections before they're even voted on, and is an unrepentant offender when it comes to border breaches against Armenians of the region, indigenous Armenians of the region. The Australian media that I studied as a student did not teach you to exert those sorts of values as the fourth estate. You need to do journalism the right way. You need to research. You need to get both sides. You need to get community angles. And these frustrations have grown when it comes to especially some of the network coverage. And that's one of the themes that we are obviously working on and protesting. And this has turned a little bit internationally. And the ABC's recent story on PM, which is obviously a very popular program with Linda Mottram, I think saw Australian journalism take the issue in a more serious way. And there was accurate representation from at least the subjects of the interview, if not the interviewers themselves, that there is a clear offender here, there's a clear perpetrator, and that is Azerbaijan, and there is a clear third party involved, and that is Turkey.
Hike, and what's the issue about the cargo planes? There was a press release from the Armenian National Committee of Australia about a week ago.
Yes. So there is a cargo airline called Silkway, which is owned by Aliyev's daughter. And this airline has a history, very well documented and proven in the media, of transporting mercenaries, paid fighters essentially, as well as weapons to Islamist jihadists that are fighting in the Middle East. There's been tracking of these planes leaving air bases from around the world, including Turkey, arriving in places like Syria and other hotspots like Libya, etc. Most recently, during the war, there was a report on Aspares and other forums as well, which tracked these same Silkway Airlines sending cargo flights from the Israeli airbase to Baku during their attacks on Armenians and Armenia. Therefore, we did a bit of a track at the Armenian National Committee, my colleague Vachet, and in that track actually determined very clearly that last week, so during Azerbaijan's attempt to invade indigenous Armenian territory, there was a flight of Silkway Airlines from Perth to Baku. Now, we have approached Home Affairs, the Minister Peter Dutton, and we've asked him to investigate this matter because, number one, we don't believe an airline owned by Aliyev's daughter has any place in Australian airspace or in an Australian airport. Secondly, if it is adjudicated that they should be allowed into Australia in the first place, what was those cargo planes transporting from Perth to Baku during Azerbaijan's attacks against innocent Armenians? So we are going to stay on top of this, but this is potentially a major issue, and we will be taking it up with everybody we need to take it up with. On that note as well, I think it's important that people follow our Facebook page, facebook.com/ANTAustralia. Also on Twitter, you can search Armenian National Committee of Australia. We are at all hours these days because our community is up all hours these days, following the news with distress and trying to get a handle of what's going on to their friends, their families, and everybody else that's under this barrage of attacks. And we're updating those sources all the time. We're sending our newsletters and everything else as well. And our most recent newsletter actually had reference to an unbelievable article that is, I think, the most significant op-ed that's been written since Azerbaijan's attacks on Armenia started on the 27th of September, if not the most significant article when it comes to arguing for Artsakh's rights to self-determination by a non-Armenian source. And that is the op-ed in The Australian yesterday by Jeffrey Robertson, QC. He very clearly identified Turkey and Azerbaijan as the guilty parties here. He compared what the Armenians were going through with reminiscent of the Armenian genocide and the fears of the Armenian genocide. He talked about the Islamist jihadists that Turkey has on the ground. He said that under international law, what Azerbaijan did were attacks, and that the UN Security Council should refer Aliyev and Erdogan for what they're doing in Artsakh right now to the International Criminal Court. Finally, he had a call on Australia to support the right to self-determination of the Armenians of the Republic of Artsakh.
And Haik, finally, what's happening today? You're on your way to Canberra?
We are. We're on our way to Canberra. We are going to protest Azerbaijan at Baku's representative's home here in Australia. So the Azerbaijani embassy will be the scene for around 500 Armenian Australians that are now on buses and in cars, all pre-registered because of COVID. And we're going to make our voices heard. Our community is not going to accept the genocidal antics of the neo-Ottomans that they are, Erdogan and Aliyev, and we will make sure that that embassy hears our cries, and that this is the start, Bahir, of actions that we will continue to take if our arguments are not heard at all levels, at all places, in coming days, weeks, and months, and however long it takes for Armenia's army to be victorious, because they've been drawn into a war, and that war is something that they didn't ask for, they did not want. They're also willing to stop, unlike the others, right now. But because they've been drawn into it and the enemy is firing, our only hope is that the Armenian army is successful, because the alternative to success might be genocide.
Haik, thank you for always accepting my invitation promptly and contributing to our program.
No, my pleasure, Bahir. Thank you very much for covering everything so important to our community.
Our guest was Armenian National Committee of Australia's Executive Director, Haik Kayserian. Հավնե, լայք, բաժանեք, գործիկը թայտնե, հետևե SBS հայրենին դիմադեդրի վրա։